Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watch The Exorcist. The Exorcist is a 1973 supernatural horror film directed by William Friedkin and written by William Peter Blatty, based on his 1971 novel of the same name. It follows a visiting actress in Washington, D.C. who notices dramatic and dangerous changes in the behaviour and physical makeup of her 12-year-old daughter, Reagan. Meanwhile, a young priest at nearby Georgetown University begins to doubt his faith while dealing with his mother's terminal sickness. These two then meet when Reagan's sickness turns her foul-mouthed and violent and beyond the help of a medical doctor or psychiatrist. Because what Reagan needs is an exorcist. We are once again joined by our special guest and exorciser of all movie demons, Alexi Toliopoulos. Welcome, Alexi.
Oh, I am so excited to be here talking about, I reckon, one of the scariest movies. I feel now I'm evil for bringing back to a scary one.
Again, yeah. Tom? As is customary, fuck you, Alexi. Fuck you.
Yes!
I didn't know I could be this scared by something made in 1973.
Yeah.
But also thank you, because yes. It's a fucking classic, like a very good film, but also scary.
That's what I like to do. I bring a blessing and I bring a curse in equal measure.
Nah, it's true. It's a phenomenal movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fucking terrified and I hate it and I can't wait to watch it again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to hear.
It's a conflicting range of emotions watching this movie, from like outright disgust at times, which we'll get into. But what's your history with this movie?
I think I would have seen it pretty young, not that young, like 15 or something.
Okay.
Not inappropriate. Like I put it on myself, watched it by myself.
Right.
And I liked it a lot then. Like, I thought it's very impressive because I do love William Friedkin. I think he's, like, over my lifetime become one of my favorite filmmakers because I think he's a very thoughtful filmmaker and very much has, like, his background in theater and documentary.
Right.
And so it's always fascinating to see like how his mind will interpret something, especially when he does adaptations like this, or like the adaptation he did of Wages of Fear called Sorcerer just after this. Because I think he brings like this naturalism, this realism to things that don't often have it.
Yeah.
And like this movie, the greatest strength that it has, I would say, is, you know, it's got two Billies at the head. You've got Billy Friedkin, you've got Billy Blatty. Yeah. I've never called him Billy Blatty, and I don't know why now. It sounds really bad. But you've got those two Billies. And William Blatty was like, he is a Catholic person. He is Catholic. He has a strong faith. Mm-hmm. William Friedkin does not have that strong faith like that. And so I think it's like you have these two, like, actual geniuses of their crafts and of storytelling basically having a debate with this film and those two things intersecting of like realism and spirituality.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes this movie so special and why it's so scary, because it hits so many deep fears that are not, like, to have them all hit in the one place is really, really rare. Yeah. Like, that's why I think this endures so much, and why its reputation as the scariest movie ever made is warranted. Mm. Because, you know, you've got these deep mythological fears of, like, religion and the dawn of society, the dawn of culture, intersecting with, like, spirituality, the sublime, magic, darkness, things beyond the realm of man. That's where the movie begins, like in the birthplace of modern society in Iraq, like where modern religions were all founded. So like it goes back to like these origins of who we are, of what the human soul and how it's interpreted are. And then you've got like the loss of body and like the loss of control of your physicalness with Reagan, who is, you know, a young woman coming of age, like going through the hormonal changes that everyone goes through. And so people can relate to that, but then to have it like corrupted by her losing complete control of her body and her physical form and being invaded by like this mysterious entity, really. And then you've got like Damien Karas, the Greek Catholic priest, which, by the way, I will shed light on it, is the weirdest fucking thing. It's stuck with me forever. There's like one, like less than 1% of all Greeks are Catholic. So it's weird that like one of the biggest like representations of Greek religion in movies is Catholic. It's like there's like five Catholic churches in Greece or something ridiculous like that. So it's really, it's a weird thing.
Right.
And it's like, I guess, do people think Greeks are Catholic because of this movie? Maybe. But otherwise, that's... I'll get into that, I'm sure, as we go on. But then, like, there's that, like, more modern mythological trauma that where it's, like, he's, like, the ancestry and the mother, like, the whole thing with his mother who's, like, kind of losing herself to dementia and old age and frailty. Like, you have the body failing there, and it's out of his control. He can't do anything about it, despite being trained in spirituality and in medicine in the mind and in psychiatry as well. He can't even control this thing.
Yeah, great.
And it's all this association with guilt, which is, like, one of the deepest fears I think every people feel is the idea of guilt, and he's letting his mother down. So it's, like, an encapsulation of all of these fears that are both imagined and real. And putting them all together, I think, is like, it's really, really spectacular and like super, to put it quite bluntly, fucking freaky. Like, this is a freaky movie because of this.
Yeah.
And it's a cursed film.
Absolutely.
It's super fucking cursed. Did you guys look into this? Like,
no, don't tell me the movie's actual cursed in real life.
9 or 10 people attached to it died. Several of the actors got like lifelong injuries from it. Like, is it Linda Blair played the kid?
Yeah.
She has a permanent spinal injury because of filming this movie. So does Alan Burstyn. Max von Sydow got injured as well.
Jesus.
The schedule was supposed to be 84 days, I think. It ended up being like 220 or something like that. Just
I heard it ran for 666 days in the
what
end.
What the fuck?
Oh, God, no.
No, that's not true.
We're too gullible.
Absolutely got me there.
We are scaredy boys. Yeah. Oh,
I found you in the most dangerous frightened sense that I could get you with anything. But this is true. They're actually on film. There's a serial killer in this movie.
Yeah, I read that too.
What?
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a neuroscientist or whatever. One of the guys in the scene where they're examining the girl Reagan.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just like a background guy. I think he's like an extra, but that's his actual field that he is in real life. And then like a few years later, he killed somebody, and then he was he called the Bag Man? Was that what it was?
Something like that. Oh, I've never looked too far into it because I am scared of it. So. Yeah.
All I just looked into it very briefly. I think six men were killed. Fucking I think he basically was like cutting off their dicks or something.
Yeah.
And he was known as the Bag Man because he would wrap the dicks in black bags or some weird shit. And then, it happened over a period of like 2 years. And then I think I assume he was caught. Yeah. But he's in the film.
He's in the film, and then William Friedkin basically made a movie about that, like, later.
He did,
With Al Pacino called Cruising, which is actually one of my other favorite movies. It's probably, after The Exorcist, my favorite William Friedkin movie, because it's, like, amazing, and Pacino's so good in it. And it's really... It's a bizarre movie, and it was hard to track down for a long time, but it's some of that cool Friedkin, like, documentary-feel stuff, and I think... that's kind of what he brings to this. Is like, this movie, it doesn't look like a documentary. Maybe it doesn't even feel like a documentary. But there's like this implied realism that like Friedkin continues on from like his great success of doing the French Connection just before this, which looks and feels like a documentary.
Yep. Right.
But it's, I think he really finds a way to ground this movie in both reality and both spirituality. And I think that's like the thing that really makes it stick and why it like has gained this reputation, but also like why it works as a movie, because the characters feel like real fleshed out, lived in people that have their own lives. Like I'm always like, in my head, I'm like, why is she an actress? Why is Ellen Burstyn's character basically playing like, you know, Ellen Burstyn herself in the movie? Like that's always something that's like weird to me, that she's like a celebrity. But then we watch it, it's like, oh, it makes sense. It gives her like all this reason, gives her a reason to be in a new place, to not have like like the perfect life around her of like people that you know, like a, what do you call, like a safety circle, basically.
Like a support network. Yeah.
Thank you so much. That's exactly what I was trying to say. I came up with safety circle instead of support network.
Safety circle feels like it's more appropriate for an exorcism. Like, I need my safety circle to get the devil out.
Yeah.
It's drawn in chalk on the ground. And, you know, we need to make one.
It's I think you've hit on it. I think that's what scared me the most. Like, we've watched a lot of movies from modern horror movies that have really freaked us out to like some of the older stuff, and some of the older stuff, like there's stuff in it you're like, oh, I get that, but also it's dated because it's like the effects or the whole idea of it has been done over and over again. And like this is my first time watching The Exorcist. I'd never seen it, but obviously I've seen Scary Movie 2 or 3 or whatever one has The Exorcist stuff in it. So I,
Scary Movie 2.
Yep, there we go.
I believe. Oh, maybe it's 3. Scary Movie 2 is actually based on the movie I talked about last time, The Haunting.
Oh, really?
The remake of The Haunting.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay.
And I saw them both around the same time. Maybe that's why it's like lasted in my head for a long time.
Well, they're fused in one. Well, yeah, so obviously, and like The Exorcist is like, has been parodied and pastiched and gone back to, like, watching it, there's a, this is a weird deep cut, but there is a Simpsons comic, like a Treehouse of Horror comic, in which Lisa gets possessed by Madonna. And Reverend Lovejoy basically has to come in and play the Karras type character to get Madonna out of Lisa. And it's like, got a great shot of him standing on Evergreen Terrace with the light shining out. It's just Reverend. It's good.
Oh.
It's good. But like, I've seen all that kind of stuff. So I was kind of like, oh no, I'll be fine. I'm prepared for it. It's an old movie. I wasn't that scared of like Friday the 13th or Halloween or whatever. And then it like starts. And because it feels so real and it's so well shot and so well told, I'm like, oh, did this actually happen, though? Like, I feel a palpable fear. None of the stuff is dated or aged horrendously because it feels like it actually fucking happened and they just happened to have a camera there.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And I would say the thing that is probably the scariest of them all is, like, not... like, the sequence that's the scariest is not, like... the exorcism sequence or like one of the times where Regan is like visibly possessed and screaming obscenities. Like the scariest thing is like when she's in the hospital being like having like a tracheotomy and stuff to like, like, you know, those are real procedures as well. Like those are real procedures in the 70s where it's like basically like they dig into your thyroid or something, your artery, like they let your artery bleed out to like do. And like the way he shoots those, that is the time where it's like his documentarian eye really comes into play.
Yeah.
And like that's the scariest stuff, like the hums of those machines, like boring into her head, the strain that you see her going through, and the, like her mother like crying watching them happen. I think those are the scariest things, and it's like that's real shit that anyone, that could happen to people, and it happened to a lot of people back then.
Even just that they go so hard down the medical route for so long in a movie called The Exorcist, like I really love that. Like even the fact that the priest is a man who believes in science and he's losing his faith, which is just such a great character straight away. But it also means he's going to double down on this medical psychological procedures way before they ever get to exorcism. Like the realism, it is so grounded in how would a family actually deal with this situation? How would a mother who's struggling help her daughter and be so at a loss until she finally, like when she goes and says, no, I need an exorcism, and she's fighting so hard for it, you believe it because she has literally tried everything else. And
yeah,
it's at the point where this is the only conclusion now.
Yeah. And it's kind of great as a viewer because you already know that there's something otherworldly about it. Like when we do begin in Iraq with Max von Sydow, like confronting Pazuzu again.
Yeah.
And then there's this thing that like is kind of like indelible that I love in this movie where Damien Karras, when Father Damien's mother passes away, and you've already got this association of like his disappointment to her that he can't care for her and that she's losing her mind, losing her connection to reality. And he has this dream where he's like descending and he's like trying to talk to his mom, but she's too far away so they can't hear each other and you can't hear them at all. It's like this silent dream, and there's like a face of Pazuzu. Like you see this face. And I don't know what version you watched, because there's a director's cut and a theatrical cut. And in the director's cut, there's like the crab walk, which is now infamous. That's not in the theatrical version.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also these, I quote unquote, subliminal Pazuzu faces. Yeah. But like they look like shit, and they're because they're from like the 90s when they redid it, and they're just like, you know, they're not subliminal because you just see Pazuzu's face like appearing things,
right?
But in the theatrical cut, there's only one time where you like see that, that like creepy white face of Pazuzu, and you see it in his dream before he ever encounters Reagan. And I just think that is like, for me, something that I find fascinating when it comes to like spirituality and religion, is like almost this idea of being outside of this like time. And so he hasn't like connected with Pazuzu or Reagan, yet Pazuzu already will exist in his life because he is going to confront them. And so for him to meet Pazuzu later, Pazuzu always exists in his life and always exists in his dreams. And I think that's something that like really scares me, like this idea of like a predestination or like preordained meeting, and like all the ramifications of it being in your life before it even happens. That really disturbs me. And I think that this movie does it in a way where it's like, it's not even on your radar. I've seen this movie like probably 40 times. And that's like the thing that I'm obsessed with now. Is like, he sees Pazuzu before he meets Pazuzu. That's so scary.
Yes. Jesus. Yeah. And it also seeds really well that what Pazuzu actually wants is him. So that like in that final scene where, he leaves her body for his, because that's his ultimate goal, which, that's brilliant. Another thing I wanted to talk about is you sort of mentioned those early touches where we're getting like the noise in the attic, or we see the Ouija board, or she just sort of has this throwaway line of, oh, my bed was shaking. And it's such this slow build where we're the audience obviously catching every single one of them. But in the movie, they're just so glossed over, and we move on in this really incredible way because, again, it's that realism of, well, that's just a comment. Like, yes, little girls say lots of strange little things sort of thing. And it's this slow build, but boy, does it build. And then when it finally erupts, it freaking blows my head off. Like, it's insane.
Like, you can justify everything in your head for a point in this movie where you're just like, oh, the bed's not actually moving. She's like, you know, her body's doing something really weird, or like, you know, all of those things like you can justify. And then like even something that I've noticed on my most recent few viewings is like during the actual exorcism where the two priests are like chanting like the power of price compels you, I guess is what I'm telling you. There's a sale on.
Basically playing The Price is Right.
Larry Emder, famous exorcist.
He actually would be incredible in Australian parody of this. He'll be incredible for it.
He would be so good.
If it's fucking Larry and Rove McManus chanting the power of price compels you, and it's an ad for like Harvey Norman, come on. That's good shit,
dude. Mid, yes.
But like when they're like chanting and Reagan is like levitating like a fucking meter and a half off her bed, their eyes are like still pointed at the bed and not like her raised above it. So you're like, oh, is this just how I'm interpreting this as the movie and they actually see her on the bed or not? Like there's all those things where you like totally can justify it all.
Yeah.
But then like you know, another thing as well, like when you go into her room and like everything's flying around, it looks so dangerous and scary. Like if you compare it to like Poltergeist, which is just like a few years later, where everything's levitating, it's like graceful and you can see the outline because they've done it like with computer generation. This is just like you got grips and gaffers just throwing just, shit around the room, like tearing books up and stuff and records being flown around. It's like really dangerous and scary. Yeah. It feels so real.
That's great.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, that seems like a good point to ask, were we scared?
Yep.
Very, very scared.
Hard yes on this one, yeah.
Too scared. You know what I find most frightening, I think, is that, like, I don't really know if the rules of exorcisms are ironclad. So for me, it's always like, well, say they get it out of her. What's to say it's not going to just come back at some point in her life? And I gather there is a sequel in which that does happen. So for me, I'm like, well, this is terrifying because it's like I go through all this shit. They get it out of me. They save me. And then I'm still fucked. Like, you're just haunted forever. I hate it.
It's like herpes.
Yeah.
Spiritual herpes.
I mean, that's the form that the sequels take place in. They just get a little bit of cream and it kind of stops for a while. But I would say, like, I've seen this movie countless times. I watch it probably twice a year. And I watch it because I'm still so scared of it. Like, this frightens me. Like, you know, I don't watch this movie covering my face with my hands or anything. I don't watch it behind my t-shirt. I'm like, it's the psychology of it all really still sits with me, really scares me. Because, you know, when I was young and I first saw this, I was Reagan, like, you know, going through puberty and like my body's, I don't know if it happened for you guys. It changed. Lots of weird shit was going on with my body and it was unexplainable. My mom took me to hang out with some priests. They tried to do an exorcism on me, from what I understand. But, you know, they were Greek Orthodox priests, so nothing weird happened. Okay?
Not like those crazy
Greeks
Catholics.
Are not Catholics, okay? Do not get confused. Do not get it twisted. Greeks are not Catholics. I've tried to research for this podcast today where the fuck that came from. I couldn't find anything concrete, but I will tell you something maybe apocryphal, because I remember reading it when I first saw the movie, and I can't find it fucking anywhere now. I've read The Exorcist, the book as well. But I think William Blatty, I think that I read somewhere years ago, I couldn't find it now, that I think he's like Lebanese or something. And he... when he was writing the book, people were like, people don't know what Lebanese is in America. So you have to make him something like it. So it's like, oh, I'll make him Greek because that's similar to Lebanese. And then, but Greeks are not Catholic. But I actually don't know if that's true, so maybe just cut that out of the podcast. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it's something that like a Lebanese friend of mine told me when I was like 14 years old. Go like, oh, that's the explanation.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's something that's stuck with me.
That's gonna stay in. If anyone takes anything from this podcast, I want that to be the thing they take from
it. William Blatty was Lebanese.
But I think that's like what sticks with me, like why this movie endures is like when I'm a teenager, I see Reagan's story.
Right.
And now when I watch it, I'm like, oh my God, Damien Karras is like the character I relate to. This ancient fucking haggard man. Like, he looks so old. And I'm like, that's who I am. The guy with the mother issues. He's worried about his mother's health and doesn't know what to believe in anymore. Like,
right.
Oh, that's who I am now.
Yeah, great.
And then one day, I can't wait to get Max von Sydow fighting against my old enemies once
again. I found it wild that he's only 44 years old in this movie.
Yeah.
Mm. So they just aged him up heaps. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did he win an Oscar?
I think that's why people thought that he was like hundreds of years old.
Because he was so like, old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's making movies in like the 50s as well. And then he's making this like 20 years later. So it's like, it doesn't add up. People are like, Max von Sydow is so old.
I just read that Blatty is the child of Lebanese immigrants. Oh, so that checks out. Okay.
Great. It can stay in the podcast. We can leave it
in. Yeah, keep it in. Keep it in. It's official. It's official. Yep.
God, maybe I was right. Maybe this is true.
This is the smartest our show's ever been, Alexi, just so you know.
Now, while we were talking just then, Alexi's changed his Wikipedia page.
Man, have you guys... would you guys be curious to watch the sequels?
I would. We had one of our listeners email in to strongly recommend the third one. They actually said it was a great time.
There's been like a critical reappraisal of the third film. Like, there's been some big video essays on YouTube and stuff like heralding it. And that one is directed by none other than Billy Blatty himself.
Oh,
William Peter Blatty, yeah.
Ooh, that's wild.
Isn't Karras back in that one?
Yes.
Ooh.
I read that he's...
Older and more broken than ever.
Yeah.
I read that he was an alcoholic, and so they had to get like someone else to play him. So there's two actors playing the same role. It's Brad Dourif.
Yes. Well, it's interesting. Like, because I've read the book as well. The book is called Legion. Mm. And it is a sequel to The Exorcist, the book. But when they have to adapt into Exorcist 3, they have to, like, make it a sequel to the movie as well. And obviously, Damien Karras, like, fucking...
he
really dies. Quite like, he... Unmistakably, he dies. Like, it's the biggest part of the movie.
Yeah, he dies really hard in that.
Yeah, more than fucking any John McClane died. Like, this is a diehard moment.
Can I say this? There's just one little like logic thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's not until really the next day where you see the other priest, Father Dyer, sort of walking around the steps and out the front of the house that you see how far away those steps are. From that window. Mm.
Sure.
He jumps huge.
Powerful throw.
Yep. He throws his whole body out there so hard.
It's the power of Christ.
Well, he was an athlete as well. Like, we say he's a priest, he's a doctor, he's a psychiatrist.
We've seen him running. You're right.
He's an athlete. That's why it's like one of the ultimate roles, because he's Rocky as well as everything else. Like, he was a prize fighter. Like, that's part of this guy's backstory.
Yeah. I thought he was going to punch the devil, because they refer to that he's a boxer.
Oh, he tried to.
He does try to, he kicks the living shit out of her.
How amazing would this movie be if, like, part of the exorcism is, like, it, like, dissolves and you see him fighting Pazuzu, like, trying to knock him out.
Other thing while we're on the topic I just want to talk about is how obviously gross and like vulgar this movie is. But I was sort of taken with it really sticks in your mind. And like Tom, when you were saying, when everyone sort of rips it off, that's what they go for. But it's used to such good effect in that it's meant to make you feel revulsion. It's not done to be gratuitous. It's meant to say, this is the most horrendous fucking awful thing that can happen to a little girl. Like, it's so done so well and with such purpose. I was really impressed with that.
It's one of those things where, like, that the famous line, your mother sucks cocks in hell, which is done as, like, jokes and things. I've heard it parodied and I know that line exists. And then watching the movie, when that line happens, you're like, oh, no, that's just awful. Like... It should be funny, but it's bad.
It's actually not funny. Yeah.
It's so scary, right? And especially, to me, the scariest part of the movie is, like, Damien's dream. And then also when His mother speaks from Reagan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, from, yeah, like, within, yes, Reagan. Where she's like, why you do this to me, Dimmy? I'm scared. Yeah. Like, that, yeah, scares me so much. Because it also sounds like my ya-ya. Like, it's like, they have the same voice. And I found it, like, I think that's why I also find this movie so scary. Because, like, hits me so, yeah, hard, like, right at home.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's so frightening. And then also when it's, like, it's all ties into his, like, loss of faith. Where he's, like, at the start of the movie, he sees that old, that guy's like, father, spare some change for an old altar boy.
Yeah.
I'm a Catholic. It's this guy who's like a homeless guy begging for change. Mm. And then it's presumed that he's dead as well. And like all these things have been haunting him forever. And it like adds to like that timelessness of Pazuzu.
Yeah.
Like living outside of the realm of time.
Mm.
Just so fucking scary. Yeah. Dude. My God.
Yeah. It's that, it's that fear that actually gets into your spine. Like, it lingers, like you're thinking about it days later.
I mean, I'll never stop thinking about this movie. I reckon it's one of the movies I, like, always, like, just in my brain, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to be Damien Karras one day. No, it's going to happen.
All right, well, did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
I think pretty wisely.
Yeah, I got to agree.
Like, they seem to exhaust all the avenues.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I watch it and I'm like, no, come on. Like, because we have all the information as the audience.
Mm. Sure.
So we're like, get to the exorcism quicker.
Mm.
But in real life,
mm,
that's the amount of time it would take, I guess. We've watched other exorcism stuff, I guess, with The Conjuring, where it's like,
mm,
well, I guess we know you have to get permission from the church to even, like, to go to the next steps.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's fucked. It's hard to watch in that respect because you're like, please get to it quicker. Just save her quicker.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think they act wisely.
Mm. I think you're right because I think everyone acts wisely because no one like throws Regan under the bus either. Like they're not like, oh, something's really weird about this girl. Like they, like you say, they all go through it logically. Even like the detective Lee J. Cobb's character, who's like, I'm very slowly with like kid gloves on investigating this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also investigating all options, like what is true and what's happening here. And he is the lead as well of the Exorcist Part 3, the Legion, Heretic. Cool. And so I think like even that is like, that's wise as well.
Mm,
where it's not like there's like an asshole cop on the outside of this story going like, I'm investigating the murder of some guy that you guys know that died outside your house.
Yeah.
And your daughter's very suspicious about this. Like, it's not like some asshole that would be like in the modern movie. He's like very sensitive and gentle and very warm, a very warm, funny character.
Yep.
It's like, man, out of control how real this movie is.
And really, he loves movies. He just loves
movies. He loves film, yeah.
That's a character I probably relate to most these days. I'm like, damn, this guy's got it. He loves Paul Newman.
those little like conversations he has with the two priests where he tells them about the free movies and they're like, who's in it?
Yeah.
And he tells them and then they do that. I've already seen it.
Yeah.
It's such a point. Those two little beats are so good.
It's lovely.
And the repetition of that at the end to Father Dyer is kind of nice too.
Yeah, yeah.
Father Dyer as well is a real priest.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he was a consultant like on the movie and like Billy Friedkin's like, come on, dude, get in the picture, play this guy.
That's
but then
great.
I think like... William Friedkin's one of those 70s psychos that, like, you know, mistreated actors to try and get performances out of them. I think he, like, slapped him or something before he did, like, the Damien Karras death scene. And, like, also he... And, I mean, he, like, that's bad. You don't do that stuff. But also, like, him and the... Who's the actor that plays Damien Karras? I can't remember his name right now. He's, like, a wonderful playwright and, like... theater actor as well that he...
Jason Miller.
Yes, Jason Miller, thank you. He was discovered by William Friedkin because he did this show called The Championship Season, which was like a kind of cult hit off-Broadway play.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw him in it and he'd already cast Stacey Keach in the role. And this was like a hot role.
Wow.
Like, you know, Jack Nicholson, Al Pacino, basically everyone was up for this role.
Mm.
And then Stacey Keach was cast. And then he saw Jason Miller and was like, actually, pay Stacey Keach out. We got to bring him in.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he's like, also, because he was like, I just see it as this guy and I see like the entire, the inner and outer life of this character is this man. We got to bring him into this movie. And, like, you know, he's a great actor. Like, this is a phenomenal performance.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the split pea soup gets spat out from Regan on him, and he, like, has, like, a very real reaction to it because it goes on his face. Originally, it was meant to just go on his chest, like, on his sweater. He wasn't meant to hit his face.
Right.
But they changed it so it would, because Friedkin's like, I want to get a more genuine reaction.
Oh, what a dog.
And Miller, like, blew up, and he was like, I'm a fucking actor, dude. I could pretend, like, I can act what you want. You don't need to, like, fake shit around me.
That's the best
I will
response.
Do the, like, actual acting that you want. You don't need to throw shit in my head to get me to, like, get there.
I read another one, Alexi, on that as well. He cracked the shits again because the director fired a gun near his head to get a shocked reaction out of him.
What?
He's like, I'm a fucking actor. I can do this.
Oh, shit.
Exactly. He just, like...
Sounds insane.
Yeah. I mean... Like, I love William Friedkin, but that's the stuff I fucking hate. Like, I hate hearing about all these, like, Kubrickian shit.
Yeah.
Like, shut up. Just make a fucking movie. Be nice to your cast. Mm. Be nice to your crew. Don't bring a firearm onto set.
Yeah. All right. How would the four of us do given this scenario?
Bad.
Alexi, do you want to be our possessed person?
Oh, I would be my pleasure because your mother is down here with me and we're doing some incredibly disturbing and exciting and erotic stuff down here.
Oh, that's upsetting. I'm upset. Oh, no. I don't know what to do.
You've really embodied that character. All right. So, well, then, yeah, I honestly don't know how we could do any better than the characters in this movie. One, we don't have the skills and knowledge that they do anyway, but it seems like it's really friggin' hard. Like, Damien Karras doing the ultimate sacrifice of throwing himself out the window once, what's the demon's name?
Pazuzu.
Once Pazuzu...
Or Mr. Howdy, if you want to call it, Regan calls the demon.
I hate, that's one of my, not I hate it, but as in, like, I hate it because it terrifies me when, like, a character innocuously is like, oh, this is my imaginary friend, Scratch Fingers. And you're like, fuck, Scratch Fingers is going to come back and kill someone. I just know it in my bones.
Do you know, I read this, I don't know how factual this is, but I'm guessing it's real, is that it was called Captain Howdy because the Reagan's dad is called Howard, which apparently we see in, like, the shot of a tabloid magazine somewhere near the beginning. Yeah. And so it's meant to be that, like, Reagan is devastated by the loss of her father, Howard, and so this substitute father figure, Demon, has chosen that name of Captain Howdy to sort of relate to that.
I think we're in trouble though, because boys, I'm not gonna lie, Pazuzu makes me a deal, I'm in. So
okay,
instantly,
Tom,
instantly,
fuck you.
It's just, you know how this rolls.
I know.
Alexi rolls up and he's like, do you want to, like, hang out? And I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Are you two the priests and I'm the parent, perhaps?
Okay.
Because my first move as a parent is to be like, fuck it, I'm out.
Sean Carney.
You can have the kid.
Put her up for adoption. Yeah. She's up for adoption.
Yeah.
Come take my sweet 12-year-old girl, Alexi Toliopoulos. She just...
Set her on fire.
Yeah.
No, how do we save her? Okay, how do we save him?
Well, my only thought, right, so I was actually reading that part of the of Damien Karras taking the demon and then killing himself, that comes from this actual Bible story where there was a person who was possessed and they put the demon into some pigs and then killed the pigs. And actually when the demon leaves Reagan's body and goes into Karras, you actually hear this horrible screaming noise, which was screaming pigs. They actually got the noise of pigs sort of to relate to this Bible story, blah, blah, blah. My thinking is we don't have, I don't own pigs. I don't have any pigs. I'm guessing you guys don't own pigs either.
Sorry, no pigs. Just two cats, and you're not putting any demons in either of them.
I'm not touching your cats.
That demon couldn't go in my dog. It's too powerful.
What about just like a snail? Like, can you not just put it into anything if we're... But we'd need to outsmart it. Here's the point. Here's the thing, though. That's the hard part of that.
Doesn't it choose where it goes, though? And also, what does it want? Because in the film, it wants Karras. So, in our scenario, it wants one of you two, who are the priests.
I mean, fuck, I hope not Tom, because it's got him in a heartbeat.
What does it want if it's taken over Alexei. Mm. Maybe we seduce it out of him with tickets to the silver screen.
Maybe it wants a podcast on the network.
That's it.
We have to offer Pazuzu a pod. Yeah.
Do you want a weekly show in which you talk about famous people you've possessed?
Oh, my darling. That would be my dream. My dream to talk. And I would love to have Jackson Bailey as my co-host.
Well, it even works like everyone, because all the people you possessed are like already in you, like we saw with Karis's mother. You don't even need guests. You can just be talking to yourself, really.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. That would be the show. That's the show. It's like fucking, like, what's the movie? Like Wayne's World, I think, where like they go in and it's just Harry Shearer by himself losing his mind in Wayne's World 2, like playing all the different characters. Yes. Yeah. That's it. But it's just Pazuzu possessing Regan sitting in like a morning AM like breakfast show.
He does all the callers as well. It's a callback like radio show now.
Yeah,
so
it's
like,
a drive time show.
Yeah, the talkback stuff. They all call him in and he's like, we got another caller. It's just, he's the producer. We give him his own radio network. Right, he clearly loves to talk.
Yeah. That's it.
He wants people to listen. Yeah.
He wants exposure.
Yeah. We can get it for him.
I mean, well, it's not hard to believe that Rush Limbaugh was literally the devil possessed. So, you know, it's just that kind of thing, but in a more comedic way. Right.
Is it dangerous to put Pazuzu with the option to go out on the airwaves?
Undoubtedly, yeah.
For people to hear him.
Oh, absolutely. But what other solution have you got?
It could destroy the world, but saves us in this scenario. Mm.
Well, no. Okay, here's the solution then. We get him on the network. We tell him he's going to have his own podcast. Yep. He's just got to get out of our good friend Alexei, and he can have his own show.
We don't plug the mic in.
No. We just put it behind a paywall. No one subscribes to that show. He's releasing content. We're like, oh, yeah, man, you're getting heaps of listens. He's a demon. He doesn't know how to use a fucking computer. He doesn't know how to look at his Spotify.
That's our warning for you guys. Do not get the new Sans Pants Plus known as Deity. Do not sign up for it. That's why I put such a high pay increase on it. We're hiding something very scary. There's something very dangerous behind it.
We've got to put a Pazuzu's pod. What's the top one? Is it King? Is that King tier?
No, higher up. Higher up. Yeah. Got to go further up.
Higher up.
Yeah. Don't want to
deity. Something. It's all the way up the top.
Jackson Bailey will still guest on his pod, though.
Yeah, of
so that he's going to draw in some people. Yeah. So we just need to be aware of that.
He'll do all of them.
And that is all the scaredy talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
I've been Alexei Toliopoulos.
And Alexei, thank you so, so much for joining us. It's been an absolute treat.
Oh, my pleasure. I was so glad to bring you something very scary. But, you know, I think, like, I loved hearing you guys talk about The Exorcist as well. It's like still a freaky, dinky picture.
It is. I genuinely loved it. It's just like such a great genre film, but just also such a great cinematic experience in general. It's a beautiful film.
Absolutely. We Friedkin love you, William. William Friedkin. That's us saying we love you, baby.
And if you'd like to hear Alexei do more puns on directors' names, you can listen to his podcast, Total Reboot. It is a wonderful, wonderful podcast on movies. The only podcast on the internet about movies, in fact.
Yep, that's technically the truth.
So please do go listen to that. And if any of you scaredy listeners would like to contact us, tell us some movies to watch, all that sort of stuff, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at scaredyboys, or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
I'm at This Is Alexei.
Stay scared, everyone.
Your mother is down here with me, and we're doing some incredibly disturbing and exciting and erotic stuff down here.